Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast land. Welcome, podcast family. Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is Nurse Carmen. This is a Hodge to Hodge production, the Messenger Edition. And again, we thank you for tuning in. Next, we will be having a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and welcome to all, and thank you all for tuning in once again. Really wanted to go a different way tonight with the podcast, but a few of the invited guests have not arrived yet, so I am going to go as the spirit should lead me. I just want us to know that we do not live each day to discover what it holds for us, but to create it. You are creating your reality every minute, probably without knowing it. Here's why that is so and how that works. God has created you in the image and likeness of God. God is the creator. You are three beings in one. You can call these three aspects of being anything you want: Father, Son, Holy Ghost, mind, body, and spirit, superconscious, conscious, and subconscious. Creation is a process that proceeds from these three parts of your body. Put another way, you create at three levels. The tools of creations are thought, word, and deed. All creation begins with thought. Proceeds from the Father. All creations then move to word. Ask and you shall receive. Speak and it shall be done unto you. All creation is fulfilled indeed. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That which you think of or never speak of creates at one level. That which you think of and speaks of creates at another level. That which you think, speak, and do becomes made manifest in your reality. To think and speak and to do something which you do not truly believe is possible, therefore the process of creation must include belief or knowing. This is absolute faith. This is beyond hoping. This is knowing of a certainty. By your faith shall ye be healed. Therefore, the doing part of creation always includes knowing. It is a gut-level clarity, a total certainty as reality of something. This place of knowing is a place of intense and incredible gratitude. It is a thankfulness in advance. And that perhaps is the biggest key to creation, to be grateful therefore and for. I'm sorry, to be grateful before and for the creation. Such taking for granted is not only condoned, but encouraged. It is the sure sign of mastery. All masters know in advance that the deed has been done. Celebrate and enjoy all that you create, have created. To reject any part of it is to reject a part of yourself. Whatever it is that is now presenting itself as part of your creation, own it, claim it, bless it, be thankful for it. Seek not to condemn it, for to condemn it is to condemn yourself. If there is some aspect of creation you find you do not enjoy, bless it and simply change it. Choose again. Call forth a new reality. Think a new thought. Say a new word. Do a new thing. Do this magnificently, and the rest of the world will follow you. Ask it to, call for it to, say, I am the light and the way. Follow me. This is how to manifest God's will as it is in heaven. So you say, if all these as simple as that, if these 10 steps are all we need, why does it not work the way for most of us? But it does work that way for all of us. Some of us are using the system consciously with full awareness, and some of us are using it unconsciously without even knowing what we are doing. Some of us are walking in wakefulness, and some of you are sleepwalking. Yet all of us are creating our reality, creating, not discovering, using the power God has given you in the process I just described. So you ask when your life will take off? I've given you the answer. You get your life to take off by first becoming very clear in your thinking about it. Think about what you want to be, do, and have. Think about it often until you are very clear about this. Then, when you are very clear, think about nothing else. Imagine no other possibilities. Throw all negative thoughts out of your mental construction. Lose all pessimists. Release all doubts. Reject all fears. Discipline your mind to hold fast to the original creative thought. When your thoughts are clear and steadfast, begin to speak them as truth. Say them out loud. Use the great command that calls forth creative power. I am. Make I am statements to others. I am is the strongest creative statement in the universe. Whatever you think, whatever you say, after the words I am, set into motion those experiences, call them, bring them to you. So you say, there is no other way the universe knows how to work. There is no other route it knows to take. The universe responds to I am, as would a genie in a bottle. So you're telling me, so you release all doubt, reject all fear, lose all pessimism, as if you're saying, pick me up a loaf of bread. But these things are easier said than done. Throw all negative thoughts out of your mental construction. Might as well re-climb Mount Everest before lunch. Is it a question of intent? The first step is learning to monitor your thoughts, to think about what you are thinking about. When you catch yourself thinking negative thoughts, thoughts that negate your highest idea about a thing, think again. I want you to do this literally. If you think you are in a doldrum, in a pickle, and no good can come of this, think again. If you think the world is a bad place filled with negative events, think again. If you think your life is falling apart and it looks as if you'll never get it back together again, think again. You can train yourself to do this. Look how well you train yourself not to do it. So, what is the true path to God? Is it through renunciation, as some yogis believe? And what of this thing called suffering? Is suffering and service the path to God, as many ancients say? Do we earn our way to heaven by being good, as so many religions teach? Or are we free to as we wish, violate or ignore any rules, set aside any traditional teachings, dive into any self-indulgence, and thus nirvana, as many New Agers say? Which is it? Strict moral standards or do as you please? Which is it? Traditional values or make it up as you go along? Which is it? The Ten Commandments or the Seven Steps to Enlightenment? So, I will answer them as you can best understand. Though I tell you now that your answer is within. I say this to all people to hear God's word and seek God's truth. Every heart which earnestly asks which is the path to God is shown. Each is given a heartfelt truth. Come to God along the path of your heart through a journey of your mind. You will never find God in your mind. In order to truly know God, you have to be out of your mind. Yet, the question begs an answer, and I will not step aside from the inquiry. I will begin with a statement that will startle you and perhaps offend the sensitivity of many people. There are no such things as the Ten Commandments. I know everybody said, oh my God, there aren't. No, there are not. Why would God command itself? And why would such commandments be required? Whatever God wants is, how is it therefore necessary to command anyone? And if God did issue commandments, would they not be automatically kept? How could God wish something to be so badly that God would command it and then sit by and watch it not be so? What kind of a king would do that? What kind of a ruler? And yet I tell you this, God is neither a king nor a ruler. God is simply and awesomely the creator. Yet the creator does not rule, but merely creates and keeps on creating. God has created you, blessed you in the image and likeness of God, and God has made certain promises and commitments to you. God has told you in plain language how it would be with you when you become as one with God. You are as Moses was, as earnest seeker Moses too, as do you now stood before God begging for answers. Oh God, my Father, he called, God of my God, designed to show me. Give me a sign that I may tell my people how we know that we are chosen. And God came to Moses, even as God has come to you now, with a divine covenant, an everlasting promise, a sure and certain commitment. How can I be sure? Moses asked plainly. Because God has told you so. God has said, I have the word of God. And the word of God was not a commandment, but a covenant. These are the Ten Commandments. These are the Ten Commandments. You shall know that you have taken the path to God, and you shall know that you have found God, for these will be the signs, these indications, these changes in you. You shall love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And there shall be no other God set before God. No longer will you worship human love or success, money, or power, nor any symbol thereof. You will set aside these things as a child sets aside toys, not because they are unworthy, but because you have outgrown them. And you shall know you have taken the path to God because you shall not use the name of God in vain. Nor will you call upon God for frivolous things. You will understand the power of words and of thoughts, and you will not think of invoking the name of God in an ungodly manner. You shall not use God's name in vain because you cannot. For God's name, the great I am, is never used in vain. That is, without results. Nor can it ever be. And when you have found God, you shall know this. And God will give you these signs as well. You shall remember to keep a day for God. You shall call it holy. This is so that you do not long stay in your illusion, but cause yourself to remember who and what you are. And then shall you soon call every day the Sabbath, and every moment holy. You shall honor your mother and your father, and you will know you are the son of God when you honor your father, mother, God, and all that you say or do or think. And even as you so honor your mother, father, God, and your father and mother on earth, for they have given you life, so too will you honor everyone. You know you have found God when you observe that you will not murder, that is, willfully kill without cause. For while you will understand that you cannot end another's life in an event, because all life is eternal, you will not choose to terminate any particular incarnation, nor change any life energy form from one form to another without the most sacred justification. New reverence of life will cause you to honor all living forms, including plants, trees, and animals, and to impact them only when it is for the highest good. And these signs will God also send you, that you may know you are on the path. You will not defile the purity of love with dishonesty or deceit, for this is adultery. I promise you, when you have found God, you shall not commit this adultery. It's important for us to understand adultery, dishonesty, or deceit. That's adultery. You will not take a thing that is not your own, nor cheat, nor convene, nor harm any another to have anything, for this would be to steal. I promise you, when you have found God, you shall not steal. Nor shall you say a thing that is not true, thus bear false witness. Nor shall you covet your neighbor's spouse, for why would you want your neighbor's spouse when you know all others are your spouses? covet your neighbor's good. But why would you want your neighbor's goods when you know that all goods can be yours? And all your goods belong to the world. You will know that you have found the path to God when you see these signs. For God promised that no one who truly seeks God shall any longer do these things. It would be impossible to continue such behavior. These are your freedoms, not your restrictions. These are God's commitments, not commandments. For God does not order about what God has created. God merely tells God's children, this is how you will know that you are coming home. Moses asked in earnestly, how may I know? Give me a sign. Moses asked the same question that everyone asks now, the same question all people everywhere have been since time began. God's answer is likewise eternal, but it has never been and never will be a commandment. For who shall God command? Who shall God punish should his commandments not be kept? There is only God. So then you say, oh, so I don't have to keep the commandments in order to get to heaven? I tell you this. There is no such thing as getting to heaven. There is only a knowing that you are already there. There is an acceptance, an understanding, not a working for or a striving. You cannot go to where you already are. To do that, you would have to leave where you are, and that would defeat the whole purpose of the journey. The irony is that most people think they have to leave where they are to get where they want to be. And so they leave heaven in order to get to heaven and go through hell. Enlightenment is understanding that there is nowhere to go, nothing to do, and nobody you have to be except exactly who you're being right now. You are on a journey to nowhere. Heaven, as you call it, is nowhere. Let's just put some space between the W and the H in the word, and you'll see that heaven is now here. Everyone says that. Everyone says that. It's driving me crazy. If heaven is now here, how come I don't see that? Why don't I feel that? And why is the world such a mess? I understand your frustration. It's almost as frustrating trying to understand all this as it is trying to get someone to understand it. I tell you this, every experience you have, God has. Do you not see God has experienced itself through you? What else do you suppose all this is for? God could not know. God could not know itself were it not for you. God created you that God might know who God is. Now, I would not shatter all of your illusions about God in one podcast. So I will tell you in God's most sublime form, which you call God, God does not feel frustration. But that's not because God can't. It's simply because God chooses not to. You can make the same choice. Well, frustrated or not, I still wonder how it can be that heaven is right here and I don't experience it. You cannot experience what you don't know. And you don't know you are in heaven right now because you have not experienced it. You see, for you, it is a vicious cycle. You have not found a way yet to experience what you do not know. And you do not know what you have not experienced. What enlightenment asks you to do is to know something you have not experienced and thus experience it. Knowing, opening the door to experience, and you imagine it is the other way around. Actually, you know a great deal more than you have experienced. You simply don't know that you know. You know that there is a God, for instance, but you may not know that you know that. So you keep waiting around for the experience. And all the while, you keep having it. Yet you are having it without knowing it, which is like not having it at all. Wow, man, you keep going in circles here. Yes, we are. And instead of going in circles, perhaps we should be the circle itself. This doesn't have to be a vicious circle. It can be a sublime one. All right, so is reincarnation a part of the truly spiritual life? Yes, because ultimately all spirits renounce what is not real. And nothing in the life you lead is real, except your relationship with God. Yet, renunciation is a classic sense of self-denial. It's not required. A true master does not give up something. A true master simply sets it aside, as he would do with anything for which he is no longer has any use. There are those who say you must overcome your desires. I say you must simply change them. The first practice feels like a rigorous discipline. The second, a joyful exercise. There are those who say that to know God, you must overcome all earthly passions. Yet to understand and accept them is enough. What you resist persists. What you look at disappears. Those who seek so earnestly to overcome all earthly passions often work at it so hard that it might be said this has become their passion. They have a passion for God, a passion to know Him. But passion is passion, and to trade one for the other does not eliminate it. Therefore, judge not that about which you feel passionate. Simply notice it, then see if it serves you. Given who and what you wish to be, remember, you are constantly in the act of creating yourself. You are at every moment deciding who and what you are. You decide this largely through the process you make regarding who and what you feel passionate about. Often a person or what you call a spiritual spiritual path looks like he has renounced all earthly passion, all human desire. What he has done is understand it, see an illusion, and step aside from the passion that does not serve him, all the while loving the illusion for what it has brought to him, the chance to be wholly free. Passion is the love of turning being into action. It fuels the energy of creation. It changes concept to experience. Passion is the fire that drives us to express who we really are. Never deny passion, for that is to deny who you are and who you truly want to be. To live your life without exception, without the need for specific results, that is freedom, godliness. That is how God lives. So you say, oh, so God is not attached to results? Absolutely not. God's joy is in the creating, not in the aftermath. Renunciation is not a decision to deny action. Renunciation is a decision to deny a need for a particular result. There is a vast difference. Beingness is the highest state of existence. It is the purest essence. It is the now, not now, the all, not all, the always, never aspect of God. Pure being is pure God. It has never been enough for us to simply be. We have always yearned to experience what we are. And that requires a whole other aspect of divinity called doing. So let us say that you are at the core of your wonderful self, that aspect of divinity called love. This is, by the way, the truth of love. Now, it is one thing to be loved and quite another thing to do something loving. The soul longs to do something about what it is in order that it might know itself and its own experience. So it will seek to realize its highest idea through action. The urge to do this is called passion. Kill passion and you kill God. Passion is God's wanting to say hi. But you see, once God, or God in you, does the loving thing, God has realized itself and needs nothing more. Man, on the other hand, often feels he needs a return on his investment. If you're going to love somebody, fine, but we better get some love back. That sort of thing. This is not passion. This is expectation. This is the greatest source of man's unhappiness. It is what separates man from God. The renunciate seeks to end the separation through the experience some Eastern mystics have called samadhi. That is oneness and union with God, a melding and melting into divinity. The renunciate therefore renounces results, but never ever renounces passion. Indeed, the masters know intuitively that passion is the path. It is the way to self-realization. Even in earthly terms, it can be fairly said that if you have a passion for nothing, you have no life at all. You cannot resist something to which you grant no reality. The act of resisting a thing is the act of granting it life. When you resist an energy, you place it there. The more you resist, the more you make it real. Whatever it is you are resisting, what you open your eyes appears. That is, it ceases to hold its illusional form. If you look at something, truly look at it, you will see right through it and right through any illusion it holds for you, leaving nothing but ultimate reality in your sight. In the face of ultimate reality, your illusions have no power. It cannot long hold you in its weakening grip. You see the truth, and the truth sets you free. The truth sets you free. Now, I'm going to get ready to end this podcast, but I had a conversation earlier today with a lovely, 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 lovely lady. And one of the things that she'd like, and I see that a few of our regular callers didn't call in today, but I'm going to try and make it a part of the podcast so that because I'm given this knowledge, I would love feedback. I know a lot of people text and ask questions later on, but if we could have a dialogue on the actual podcast, it might shed some light or help someone else along the way. So on our next podcast, I'm going to do what I can to try and see if I can get a little bit more dialogue from the podcast members. But I do truly thank each and every one of you for coming out tonight and listening. And I hope that, as they say in church, you find it not robbery to return Sunday night as we again go into understanding not only who we are, but whose we are. I love you all. God bless you. Stay strong. And remember, if you don't go within, you will go without. I love you all. Good night.
Love
to everyone.
You, but thank you.
That did not end the show without letting Mother finish. Okay, Mother?